What's up, Benji?
All good, man. You?
Good. So, Benji and Lamia and John the dog just came in.
What's up?
All the way from Istanbul. You guys landed last night, right?
Yeah.
How's the flight?
Good. We brought the snow with us,
yeah,
to be
thank
honest.
You.
Did you enjoy it?
It was great.
It's my gift.
Such a generous guy. Just always giving.
Always. I was, but this time giving to everyone.
The entire city. Yeah. The entire East Coast, really.
Yeah.
It was very exciting that you guys were here.
Yeah, we're also very excited and, you know, to be down here in New York for a couple of weeks, actually. So super excited.
Amazing. Are you guys traveling anywhere else out of New York?
After New York, we're going to pass by Dubai for Soul DXP. It's like a streetwear, art, fashion, sneaker festival. So we'll be there for a week.
Nice. Any other U.S. travel as well? Quick day trips here?
No. Oh, actually, yes. I will go to Philadelphia.
Oh, nice.
To watch one of the basketball matches.
Which one?
With Chevalier.
Amazing.
Yeah, a Turkish player plays there called Cedi Osman. I want to watch his game.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I know Benji through Little Benjamins. We actually met last time you were in New York, the first time. And I had the pleasure of working with you on your store, new flagship in Istanbul. How's it going, by the way, now that it's open?
It's going really good. I was actually calling in my team just before I got here. It's raining, so the walk-in was slow. I'm like, what's happening? We had so many people. And they're like, sorry, Benji, people, it's raining. I'm like, oh, shit. No, it's been going really good. Everyone asking about the concept.
Nice.
And people curious about what's this cliff in the middle of the store. So it's definitely a, like, exciting moment for the store.
Amazing. And you guys have had, a couple smaller stores, but this is really the biggest first sort of like proper flagship.
Yeah. We had like small pop-ups, but this flagship really like shows the universe of Benjamin's, you know. It shows really like what's it about, the energy, brings people together. We have so many kids coming in.
Really?
And especially like kids with parents.
Amazing.
And you would see like a kid ask for a jacket, and then the father would buy it and then would go hug him like, thanks, Dad, you made my day. That's like the
just bringing kids and parents together in the store.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and the funny fact is like actually the parents get excited too when their kids do, and they're curious about it as well, what's happening, because they feel disconnected with this world, especially what's happening now with all the Instagram age and like the Y and Z generation. They're trying to figure it out, and the store is kind of a platform to understand what's going on.
So this was something just to give people that are just maybe don't know about Le Benjamin's or learning about it, but I think it's a clothing brand, but yeah, obviously much more than that. But I think what's interesting about when you approached us about doing a store together somewhere, and we're trying to figure out where, and I had a chance to, the first time I remember hanging out with you in Istanbul, what was incredible, kind of along the lines of the story you just told, was so many people in the city.
So many.
Know you and know the brand, regardless if they're the type of person that wears the brand. Like, this is older people, younger people, men, women, people that run restaurants, people that work, drive taxis, like everything. And you got a sense that, A, there wasn't really anything like what you guys are doing out of Istanbul, let alone Turkey, let alone that region, maybe even of the world.
Yep.
And I was blown away by, I think, the pride of people seeing, like, a native son doing something that had resonance outside of Istanbul, worldwide, and like doing something young and exciting. Just jumping into it, like, do you see a lot of, especially out of Istanbul, a lot of younger guys, younger women trying to do something right now? Or is that still really new for like a youth culture to come up?
To be honest, good that you bring that up. I have lots of like girls and boys coming in, ranging ages, that, oh, I have this brand, do you want to check it out? Look what I'm doing. I'm doing this. So many people are launching brands right now. But it's not, I don't think it's just Turkey related, but I think in general, you have so many new brands coming up. It's everything is more accessible. And at the same time, when kids come in and they ask about, like, how can I become a brand? Or how did you do it? And it's a good platform to share ideas, you know? It's not just about me speaking, but letting them speak and giving them the tools to discover themselves. That's what I try to do.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, why do you think that... John, the dog, is... He just got some new shoes, I think.
Yeah.
He's like breaking in the new shoes on the floor.
Yeah.
He's really enjoying them.
Oh, yeah.
Some new snow boots.
Snow boots. New York safe.
I mean, why do you think... Like, even like specifically with, like, brands, like kids wanting to start brands or whatever that means. And I think there's obviously a push right now from Kanye to Virgil to guys like Heron to guys like you of streetwear brands, especially, like, specifically even just in that streetwear world.
Yeah.
Of there's something that feels accessible about it. People can kind of start their own brand. People are almost welcome to make something, even make a simple T-shirt or a sticker. Why do you think that is with that type of fashion or even that kind of that venue for creativity? Why do you think it's like streetwear is kind of taking off as a kind of way for people to voice themselves like that?
I think, you know, it's a question that I ask myself as well all the time. We are in the fashion industry, but at the same time, I feel like we are not, because the fashion industry has so many taboos. You know, you're supposed to do a catwalk. You're supposed to not show your products before your show. And I feel like the stuff that our generation are doing is much more accessible. We don't hide things. We don't hide the process of designing or showing maybe like some insights about how we did it. And I think that's never done in fashion before. So you could say it's an evolution for fashion, but you could say also it's something new. But it could be also the future. And I feel like streetwear is such a generic word right now. I feel like it's more like now wear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like what people look for, especially people that are looking for the next step or like the next vision. It's definitely what we are doing. You know, from all around the world, you have like designers that are so accessible through Instagram. And in this Instagram age, just opens new opportunities. I mean, you see it with even like traditional media and now digital media. Whereas traditional media has to redefine their way of doing, you know, it becomes more a collector's item rather than just a monthly thing. Because now we have a daily thing, actually a moment thing, which is Instagram. So it's a cool opportunity. And I was just saying too, I feel like we're in the golden age, you know, of communication. The big corporations used to own like media, and now it's like with people, and that's power, to be honest. It's like power to the people, and lots of new influencers, bloggers coming up and really shaking the industry, you know, believe it or not. I mean, you don't have to have a media company anymore to be able to express and share ideas. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful, I think.
I mean, a lot of the guests over the last few weeks have been, like Kevin Ma, I was thinking of one, who's the founder of Hypebeast. Mm-hmm. And like the fact that he started just by writing a blog online and getting attention through it. This is actually before social media, but basically a similar premise that the internet was able to pull in a lot of interest in the stuff he was just purely self-interested in. I feel like half, if not more than the people that we've talked to were able to kind of get what they did out into the world because of these modes of communication that didn't exist 10 years ago. And I was thinking, actually, even with the store, what I was really surprised by and impressed by was a lot of the brands you guys promote, because it's not just Benjamin's in there. It's actually a whole number of brands. They all seemed like they were really young and brands that half the brands I'd never heard about before, which was really exciting. And I was basically curious, like, did you come across all these brands just basically through social media, through internet, through Instagram?
It's usually through internet, social media, but at the same time through friends. So I like to get recommendations, or like if someone writes me, oh, yo, Benji, there's this new brand, check it out. Or, oh, one of my friends who owns a shop, he says, oh, I have this brand, check it out. You know, it's like a community thing, I guess, and that's where community comes in. It's like if we all see brands coming up that are new, we also need to support them, especially the ones that have a strong concept and idea. And I feel like it's very important to also keep a space for new stuff. Because in the end, if you don't forget the ladder that you walked up with, you also need to keep someone else who can come up and kind of create their own brand and make it bigger.
So I was going to say, like, with...
So it's a platform.
Because it is so accessible, there's thousands of startup, new brands, new ideas all the time. John's still wearing his shoes. Is he trying to dig in the... I think he's trying to dig a hole in the tile.
Can you hold him? Wow, John.
He's just trying to find a spot at the radio station. We should make him a bed.
Yeah, we should. We should design one right now. Let's see what we have, what kind of...
I mean, how do you... I guess the question was, like, how do you... Because you must come across so many young designers all the time. And you're... Just put in the context. You're still very young. You're under 30.
Yeah.
But it almost... It's funny because it does feel like you already are taking on this sort of, like, godfather role, especially certainly throughout Istanbul and Turkey, but even more in inviting a lot of brands that are very global, young, but, like, from other places. How do you call or decide, you know, which of the six brands you want to work with now versus the thousands that are out there and interesting? Is it really just trusting your eye, or is it, do you try to meet with the people first?
Meeting the people, having a conversation, listening to their ideas, seeing how they treat their community and if they support each other. I think all of this is important. You know, it's never one thing. It's not about followers and likes for me. It's more about the passion and the energy that the brand gives, you know. Because I'm in the shop almost every second to third day. So when I'm down there and I have people come in, I want to explain and give a nice story of the brand. And I want to be excited about it. Because if I'm not excited, how can I excite anyone else? So for me, excitement is key. But building a community, giving back to the community, supporting each other, and having just a bigger vision than just creating a brand. I think doing like cultural movements, that's what I'm doing back in Istanbul, and that's why like those kids that you saw, and also like the various kind of people, they're all excited because there hasn't been a brand come out from Istanbul that's so global, but at the same time respects the local and like gives a hand to artists, to DJs, to all types of people, and become like it's like a platform. Mm-hmm. So if an artist wants to become global, they see Benjamin's as a platform, and that's why there's this like national pride as well, because there is nothing like this out there. You know, you go to New York or anywhere around the world, you can actually feel something that you relate to. Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, when we worked in the store, we obviously did this like with some of the furniture and the kind of materials we're using, but in your collections too, you seem to make a big point to combine styles and cultures, not only from Istanbul, I think from all over the world in your travels. Is that something that you started doing just because you liked it, or are you strategically trying to build like cross-cultural kind of relationships, or is there something where like, oh, actually this culture needs exposure to this culture over here and we're going to like throw them together?
To be honest, it's linked to who I am. I love building bridges, you know, and I feel like we all humans have so many things in common. It's just we don't know each other. There's so much in common. We always tend to look at the differences, but I like to find similarities and kind of create bridges and like live it there, you know, like especially like juxtaposition, putting things that are in contrast together that would never be seen together is what excites me. It's also when you came to Istanbul for the store opening, Dong, you saw it was a mixture of people. You had a Heron, and then you had someone from Paris, you had one guy who owns a store. So all of these people, and then you had locals, and then you had local DJs, and then you had this band called Baba Zula, which does world music inspired by Turkish old mixed with new. So bringing all these like people together, it's like That's especially who I am. I was always the kind of social guy, bringing people together that would not actually talk. Mm. So I'm the bridge. Mm. You can call me the bridge.
So, I mean, maybe that leads into, because you come from a family of a family that works in textiles and manufacturing and fashion. Did you always, growing up, did you always know that at some point you'd want to either not even just stay in that industry, but actually start something on your own?
Funny, you know, on the way, also my sister sent me like old pictures of me when I was a child. And on one picture, I was drawing something. And on the second one, I was playing with my camera. And then, you know, I had this gap when I was a teenager where I actually did not do drawing, or I did not
like anything
take
creative
photos. I was playing the guitar, mm-hmm. music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was, and then I discovered myself again as an artist, and that took me like towards end of high school, and then that's when I realized, oh, you know, traveling all around the world with my father and my mother and to trade shows, Première Vision for fabric fairs, and working also with designers that used to work for our family company, and seeing all that process over my childhood, like I would carry boxes when I was six. I was going like to the office, seeing stuff, and pretending like I know everything. You know, oh, this fabric is cotton. This is 70% cotton, 30% polyester. So that actually inspired me, and I always told my friends also in high school. I'm actually meeting one of my high school friends. We were in the same drawing and painting class. Waka, she's Japanese.
Shout out to Waka.
Yeah, shout out. So I'll meet her later. So that's it's definitely a journey, you know. And I always knew I was going to do my own brand and kind of create something. But it didn't start from day one where you know exactly where you want to go with the brand. That's like you need to discover yourself first to be able to create something that's a reflection of who you are as a person. Lots of people, especially young designers, they make that mistake to be someone else. And that's why also in all fields of creators, and I think you can agree, it's good to see what other people do. You take it as a reference. You learn from the techniques. It gives you a tool set. But then you create your own story. You know, you create your own take and your own line. And that's not from yesterday to today. Mm-hmm. It takes time.
Is Le Benjamin's the first brand you started? Did you start anything else before that to try something else?
You know what? Funny enough, Benjamin's could have been four brands. Hmm. I took like when I was creating the brand, it was only t-shirts and collages, and then I was like, oh, this t-shirt's going well. I have 60 clients. Why don't we add hoodies? And then it kind of like became t-shirts and hoodies brand, and then suddenly it became a menswear designer brand doing shows, and then women's wear brand ready to wear, and then now I'm moving away from fashion, mm-hmm. more like fashion / creating your own niche. So it's been going different roads. It could have been multiple brands, but now I exactly know where I want to go and where I want to take the brand. And there are some people who try different brands, but I saw it as like an evolution until I find exactly who I am, where I want to go. So, yeah.
What was that first t-shirt that you made?
Well, it was with a Mexican friend, actually. I designed a t-shirt with Bruno, a Mexican friend. Another shout out.
Shout out, Bruno.
Yeah. So it was actually a funny t-shirt. So I had like the Swarovski stones. Mm-hmm. And yeah, basically in green, it was written Bruno and Benji in red for Mexico and Turkey. So it was a funny like night out t-shirt that we wore when we were going out in clubs. And then everyone was looking at us and saying, oh, wow, Benji and Bruno, what's this brand? I'm like, what do you mean? What brand, man? It's just one out of two. Yeah, and the other one is two out of two. So there were only two pieces. And then people kept asking me, oh, we want this too. Give us. And that's when I realized, oh, I should do more t-shirts and give away more stuff.
Mm. Was this in Istanbul?
No, it was in Switzerland when I was in high school, at the boarding school in Lugano. And my friend said, Benji, why are you giving it away? You should turn it into a business. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Well, then let's do a business, you know? And that's how it started. It was a basic hobby. It was just fun, you know? It's just like going to a promotional place, print some T-shirts and like start.
Did you ever end up selling the Bruno Benji T-shirt?
No. 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 I still have it, I think, yeah? Do we have it, Lamia? Oh.
It's like deep in the T-shirt closet somewhere.
Oh, my man is here. Welcome, G. I'm going to be with you in a bit.
It's the first in-person meeting of Ryan and Benji.
Yeah, usually it's over.
Ryan's coming over for a hug.
Finally. So good to find you. How are you? I'm doing great. How about you?
Ryan, feel free to hop on if you want to ask Benji any questions. What mic is this? Oops. What soup did you get, Ryan?
Broccoli and spinach.
Nice. He didn't bring us soup, though.
I know. You know. Damn it, Benji. Damn it. So we're just talking about T-shirts.
Nice. Yeah. You like T-shirts?
Yeah, I'm wearing one now.
It's not a food T-shirt?
No, it's not a food T-shirt. He's
wearing a food sweater, though, so I feel like
he's
still...
Nice. Yeah.
It's all right.
Do my best.
Do you remember what the first T-shirt you actually made to sell was?
That's a good question. I made 30.
Well, like 30 different designs?
30 different designs, but I don't remember, to be honest, which one I did first. Because that was like 8 years ago.
How did you get the word out that I have T-shirts to sell? And please
buy one? You know, when I first did the collection, it was 30 T-shirts, and I attended this trade show called Bread and Butter in Berlin. It's in this like old airport called Tempelhof. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I know that one.
You know that one?
Yeah. I think I actually flew out of it right before it closed. It was
really?
One of the last, like,
it's insane, right? Architectural-wise. It's very beautiful. And it's a huge trade show. And actually, one of the founders of Kith was my first client. And it's funny story. I never told this story, by the way.
Please do.
So... it was me and two other friends who were like kind of supporting me to do sales at the booth because I didn't have employees yet. So they came down with me to Bread and Butter. We hanged all the clothes and we didn't know that we needed to have a price list with wholesale prices. So
you're just like, buy this T-shirt. What? It's pretty simple, right?
Yeah, we thought they're going to make a selection and then we'll send them the prices later on. So Ben Abrams came, one of the partners of Kith, and he was like, so I really like your brand, and what's the wholesale price? What's the markup?
And you're like, huh?
And I was like, what is this guy talking about?
No, man, these are T-shirts.
Was he already Kith at that point?
No, that was Atrium.
Okay.
Yeah. And he also had his own...
I forgot he was Atrium.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, so he had also a trade show called Project, I think, and he said, you know what, I'm gonna come back again later. Prepare your line sheet and
get your shit together.
Like, get your shit together, literally. But he did it in a nice way. So that he was also one of the persons that kind of like as a 19-year-old gave me kind of that excitement. Oh wow, there's actually interest, and there's actually some people that are nice in the industry, and that also give you the hand to actually develop and go on, you know. And one of my first clients was Harrods, which is one of the biggest department stores. And that was kind of luck.
Did that also come out of that trade show? That relationship with Harrods?
Harrods came out of, a common friend from London. He showed my collection to the buyer. And he was like, oh, I really like it. Let's put it in.
This is the same 30 T-shirt collection?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, like, Sam and Harrods were the two things that really excited
me. It's a pretty good start.
Yeah, it was an insane start. And then I ran to my family and I was like, look, there's this store in New York and there's this Harrods. And they were like, oh, we know Harrods. Because, you know, everyone knows Harrods. So that kind of gave me that jump start and like excitement to actually continue. Huh. If I would have had that, maybe I wouldn't have continued. Maybe I would have done something else.
How did you even... Because even just meeting Sam at that trade show, I think, the target is a lot of kids that, like, I know how to make a T-shirt, but where the fuck do I, how do I get this t-shirt out? I can take photos of it. I can Instagram order. But how did you already know about that trade show? Like, how did you even know to go there in the first place?
Oh, I researched, you know, I researched where I could be, and it felt really down to the street. Back then, we didn't have so many festivals like ComplexCon or Hype Fest. So that felt really to the street. And was Berlin, and Berlin is like, in Europe, it's like, even in the street scene and the street world scene and art scene, Berlin is one of the most important cities. So I wanted to do that.
Are there still trade shows or fairs that are, because like ComplexCon and like the Hype Fest and stuff, they're mostly like brands festivals. That are, but they're also brands that are kind of established. I mean, like some young, certainly yeah, very some. Established ones as well.
True.
But I don't imagine there's a lot of brands that literally have never done or nobody's seen anything, and they're like, oh, we have some t-shirts, let me put them t-shirts. Like, are there still venues for
for sure
completely there's new people to put up stuff and have people see them?
Yeah, there's a lot, especially in Europe. I mean, in New York, I think you have this trade show called Liberty and Capsule, and you have Project. In Europe, you have Seek, which is more fashion, like more streetwear oriented, in Berlin as well. And then you have Premium, you have Bread and Butter. You have Tranoy in Paris. There's lots. And you need to go first to these trade shows and discover them by yourself, because that's what I did. I went to Bread and Butter, and then the next season I was
just
there.
Just to see it.
Like, yeah, this one's like, I mean, maybe even when you see these trade shows, you see how the business works, you say, oh, this is not for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's not for me at all. So... like seeing everything yourself is key. Even when you do production, go to the production places, go to trade shows, see the business and the fashion brand aspect from a 360 degree. Because usually what people are excited about is getting the t-shirts, showing it to them friends and like, oh, look what I did.
Yeah.
But that's like the 5% of the entire thing. You have 95% other things, what you have to do, from like social media to production to managing your team, planning your sales campaign, like all these like things that you also cannot reach, you know. Okay, you start your brand. We can start one, not right now, you know, in this radio talk. We come up.
Benji Radio.
Benji Radio. Yeah. I mean, and then
Herod,
we could literally go around the corner and find a t-shirt printing space, right? And we have a brand, and then we open the social media account. That's also done in 5 seconds. But how do you sustain a message and stick to your promise? Because a brand is a promise. You know, you create a DNA. It's like having a baby, and then you stick to that DNA and you sustain it. And over time, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And to lose your brand, it's 1 second, seriously. Like, you can do one mistake and then you lose it. So it's a delicate thing, and I think that's what a brand is about.
Did you, when you were making those first 30 t-shirts and even like hanging them up at Bread and Butter,
because
I think it's like a really interesting moment.
Yeah.
Do you, I don't know if you remember what you were thinking, but were you like, this is the start of my like Benjamin's empire? Or were you like, let's just sell some t-shirts and see what happens?
Good question. At that point, I always set small goals, but with a big vision. But I get happy with like accomplishing my small goals. Like, probably the first thing I've done after the trade show was like call my family, call my friends. Oh, I did so much sales. You know, if I look back at it now, I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't that much. But, you know, it's those little things, you know, and I think you should be happy with these little things, because those little happiness moments actually bring you to the big happiness moment. And big doesn't mean it has to be also big. You know, some people are happy with just doing t-shirts and selling them to their friends and to the local community. Not every brand has to be a global brand. You know, there's a lot of successful local brands as well. So it's more about who you are and what really your dreams and ambitions are.
What did you study when you were in school?
Oh, well, high school or university?
Or university.
I dropped 3 universities. So I started with international relations, and I realized it's super fake and not for me.
Okay.
So I was like, what am I doing here? I gotta leave. And then I left that. It was only 6 months.
Where was that?
It was in Geneva. I wanted to be right where everything is, you know, because Geneva is such a political city. And you had all like the big foundations and big companies, and everything was there. So I tried that, and no. Then I did 1 year of business, and then I did 1 year of advertisement in two different universities in Istanbul, and I dropped both as well. And at, during the advertisement MBA, when I also did it 1 year. My teacher actually gave us a task to create our own brands, and I had my brand already. So I asked him, can I use the brand that I have? Why do I have to create another one? He's like, sure, yeah, go ahead. And then I did my project, and we were in a group, and with my group, we created a brand and like the strategy and everything, and we presented it to our teacher. And then my teacher said, you guys should be close to Benji because his brand is going to be big one day. And that's the moment I realized I have to drop this school.
I'm out.
If my teacher tells me that I'm going to be big one day, then I should really focus 100%. But that doesn't mean that it's for everyone. I mean, I'm the type of guy, I keep learning. Today from this talk, I will learn. You know, I keep learning, keep being curious about things. So,
oh wow, what's that? Bella just brought amazing snacks over again.
More peanuts.
I mean, what's amazing is like, all right, so a family in textiles and manufacturing and fashion, touches of majors in international relations, business, and advertising, feels basically exactly what Benjamin's is.
Yeah.
Like those four things, especially the international relations parts. I was like, that's crazy. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You are that ambassador.
Yeah. To be honest, you know, I'm the type of person that goes to extremes. I try every extreme, and then I discover actually who I am. So, and it's not a bad thing. You know, when you try different things, I had my own metal band too growing up.
What was it called?
So good. It was called Fragnesses or something like that. Yeah, it was a stupid name.
Oh,
wow. No, don't.
Can we find it?
Lamia, what are you doing? No way. We don't have a video.
You do. We're going to watch it live on air.
Yeah, everyone is going to search now.
Alrighty.
Yeah, I was hiding that.
What was
one.
That name again?
It's been too long.
Too late.
You still play guitar?
Lately, no, but I want to, you know. I was looking at guitars, and then my wife, Lamia, was saying, oh, you're going to buy it again and then you're not going to use it? I'm like, no, I will use it.
There's a beautiful guitar shop down the street we can take you to.
It
might be next to the pet store, so maybe.
Oh, yes. We put her into the pet shop and then I buy a guitar. But yeah, I mean, growing up also, you know, I used to listen a lot to like grime. Like I love the movement in London, what's happening down there. And slowly I'm kind of going back to actually what I was growing up with, which is like more like rock, which is more like jazz based music. I start listening to jazz now, which I didn't like at all, and I feel like it's a journey, you know. Everything, you evolve as an artist, you evolve as a person, and I feel like especially your childhood, the way you grew up, is something where you fade away from and then go back to.
Actually, so speaking of that, the international relations major, obviously it wasn't for you after you spent a little time with it.
No, not at all. But I think I was crazy enough to think that I would fit in there.
Yeah, so what kind of prompted you to jump into that to begin with?
It's a big part of what I'm doing now. Actually, politics is very close. It's part of our daily routine, actually, you know. Especially even when I design now, I get affected by the things that are happening in the world, people in general, history, geography was one of my favorite subjects and history. So when you look at geography and history, you automatically think of two things, one economics and one politics. And politics is just about humans as well. You know, it has so much power, it affects so many people, it creates stereotypes, it breaks relationships. That's why it interests me. You know, how does it happen that one person says a message and everyone moves and follows? I think fashion is also it's moved by these things as well. You know, people get inspired and see basically people. You know, people and their stories. That's what interests me. And lots of politicians actually, they're really well cultured. They have to be. And I just love discovering and meeting different people. That's what actually made me curious about it.
Were you involved in any political groups or like student clubs or
no.
anything like that in high school?
I don't like clubs. You know, I was always staying away from clubs because I feel like clubs also narrow your sight of vision. I'm the kind of like the independent guy that goes to every club. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I like to be independent and like discover everything.
Did you have a chance? It's not. I mean, you were in Switzerland, obviously, for a little bit. Did you have a chance growing up to travel a lot?
Oh yeah, when I was in Switzerland, actually, you could take the train anywhere. You know, you could be in 1 hour in Milan. You could be in 4 hours in Paris, 3.5 in Munich. Take a plane 1 hour in Barcelona. So I went everywhere. Every weekend we tried to go somewhere to discover.
Did you ever want to? Because your home base obviously has always been Istanbul, right?
No, I was born and raised in Germany in a small town called Neuss, and it's actually near Düsseldorf. Maybe you guys know Düsseldorf. We actually went there this year with my wife. It's a place that I call my home as well. Istanbul is home as well, but I mean, anywhere my family is, that's home for me. Of course, I grew up, I have an emotional part with it, but also Switzerland, growing, like studying in Switzerland and Lugano for years, that's also a big part. So I'm kind of split, you know, being I'm a German citizen with Turkish parents, so growing up in three countries, so I don't belong anywhere, to be honest. You know, I see myself as an international person. Of course, I have my roots that I respect and that I love, but for me, humanity comes first.
I think what's interesting is, the reason I think I was also asking about the, what was it, international relations? Is that what the major was?
Yeah.
And coming from knowing a little bit about the collection you put out and the work you do and actually just the output that you have, there's obviously like a kind of international stewardship, ambassadorship that's part of it, but also a very strong tie to a local and familial and very personal, intimate side. Like there's a very big scale and a very small scale. There's a very global and very local scale. And it's apparent when you look at the stuff you do, but we never actually talked about where that kind of came from, where that inherently was part of you as a person. When are you going to run for mayor?
Sorry?
When are you going to run for mayor?
Oh, wow. 2023.
Oh, that's soon.
Why not?
Nice.
And then maybe you can design my mayor municipality.
We can do that.
It should all be in steel. We start with that.
I mean, I was curious basically because, like, you're obviously not a politician, but you do a lot of things in terms of this sort of, even just within the community that you're part of, which is a large community, but again, that kind of ambassadorship of people from all over the place. And do you see yourself moving into any more official capacity like that? Or do you like not being in that label of a politician in that sense?
No, I think politics never, but definitely like being an ambassador comes from politics. But you have like these brand ambassadors. So I think it's a great cross inspiration. and seeing like how ambassadors really put people together, and they think bigger, they look at the bigger picture, you know. For them, it's more important to bring people together than to have their own close friends and group. So for me, what I'm doing is actually like what's my dream. So when I studied probably international relations, I took some parts that I liked, some parts that I studied in advertisement and business, I took some part, and then growing up as a child in the fashion industry with my parents, I took my parts as well. So it's all like who I am. And then I love photography, I take lots of pictures, and I usually walk around with my camera. I like to draw, come up with new ideas. So putting that all together, I'm a designer, I love music, I love creating things, bringing people together. So putting all these like kind of like attributes of my character into one, I'm kind of the mayor right now. You know what I mean? Like my brand.
You do get that sense when you walk around with you in Istanbul.
Yeah, that's true. But you never know. I mean, I enjoy bringing people together. Mm. And if I can do something good for people, I'll just do it without having any other interests. Mm. You know, it's just what makes me happy.
As a way to wrap up, basically, yeah. Do you have, can you think of Istanbul or otherwise, any, or Turkish or otherwise, any brands or artists that are up and coming that maybe people don't know about yet that you're really excited about? Like mm-hmm. next generation almost of kids doing something really interesting?
We have this graffiti artist. He's called Leo Lunatic.
Out of Istanbul?
Yeah, out of Istanbul. He's great and he has a vision. And we just did something actually together. Mm. We did something special for Halloween. We did like T-shirts, awesome. Halloween inspired, and he sprayed it on top of T-shirts. Mm. I think he has a great vision, and he can really become the first global graffiti artist, even bigger than he is right now.
What's his name?
His name is Leo Lunatic. And he's known for, even though he doesn't like it and he's going to listen to this, he is known for big pandas all over Istanbul. Okay. Maybe you've seen them.
Big pandas?
Yeah.
I have to look for them. I don't know if I've seen them.
I'm sure. I'll show you pictures in a bit. He's known for that. And when people come to him and say, oh, are you the panda guy? He's like already giving his face. I'm not only about pandas, my friends. So, but yeah, he's a great soul, and also lots of new hip hop singers and artists and bands coming up. So lots of cool stuff, really exciting. You know, Istanbul is happening, especially with the music. Hip hop is finally kicked in after doing like 8 years of events and parties and bringing like cool people down to Istanbul and trying to shift the music scene as well. Because I feel like fashion, music, art, they all interact and they all create a nice synergy. So whatever I do, I try to mix both. So I'm also pretty well known for doing events. And then it's, again, it's like this human-centric approach of doing events as well. Putting yourself as a guest and like seeing how that journey is. That's for me a design too. You know, how to enter, what to expect, what's the smell, what's the sound, what's the timing of, you know, all of this. I just love designing. And it's not just on paper, but it's also like an environment, and especially also what you guys did here. For me, that's design too. You know, walking in from here, this being in Chinatown, bringing in these people, it's all like a creative collage for me. And that's what's exciting.
So we're about to go get lunch. So I'm on so that hungry. Theme, the me and Benji also bond over eating.
Oh, yeah. And you know, when I read your company name, Food, I was like, I'm sure this guy, me and him, going to become buddies.
Because especially, I'm guessing a lot of people either haven't been to Istanbul.
Well, you guys should all come.
It definitely should. So if they had to only choose one thing to eat, like last question, where's the one place they need to eat if they go to Istanbul or when they go to Istanbul?
Okay.
Because there are probably too many. But
If you guys like döner kebab, you should definitely go to Bayramoğlu in Kavacık. And that's like in the Asian side.
Asian side, right?
Yeah, just right under the bridge.
You know, I've still never been in that one.
Oh, it's so good. They make it all, the bread is done fresh. The meat is so soft and tender. I'm getting hungry. Why did you do this? Let's get a pizza dong.
I ring a pizza.
Yeah. But really, thank you for having me. And it was amazing to kind of talk about things and also explain who I am. But at the same time, what you guys have done, all of you, to create like a platform like this, I think it's very valuable, very important to give something back, to share ideas. So thank you, and thank you for everything.
Thank you, Benji.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lemia. Thank you, John.
And thank you, John, for like distracting me with your pause.